this day in history, 50 years ago, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You'll be hearing much about that in the news. There was another death that same day of the great Christian author C.S. Lewis, and influenced many people through his works and writings. And so we remember these two great men of history today as well. Please join me on the prayer for Friday morning, which you will find on page 170 in the front part of your hymn book, page 170. And we pray. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always, that I may worship you in spirit and truth, and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit, and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him. For you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who is made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen. We hear from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 14th chapter, and Jesus, and we hear of our Lord. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Recently, my wife and I renovated our kitchen, and ahead of time, almost a year ahead of time, we had to sit down and figure out what was this going to take. The cost involved, the demolition and the work of that, the dust that would be all over the house for ages, cooking out of a pan in the dining room, the time it spent to go and pick out all the things that we wanted, and of course, all the money to get all the new appliances and things. In the end, happy to say it was all worth it, but in the middle of the project, if you asked me on the right day, I'm not sure I would have said that. When you chose to come here to Bethany College, you probably sat down with your parents and worked out some things on paper, figured out the cost. What was it going to cost you financially to come here? The distance away from home that it would be, being away from family and friends, the travel time if it's too far to go back for vacations. There were a lot of things that played into your decision to come here, and you chose to come. We're happy you did. And it's our hope and prayer that in the years ahead, you may look back and say, that was all well worth it. Our Lord Jesus uses the imagery of a man building a tower in our text today, and the need for sitting down and figuring out ahead of time exactly what is this going to cost, and the work involved, and whether or not I'm going to be committed to complete the project, to really bring it to its full completion. And he uses this imagery of a man building a tower to teach us something about our spiritual lives and our relationship to him and our dedication to him throughout our life. There is and there will be a cost to following Christ in our lives. Now, I want to be very clear about this. Salvation itself and heaven itself doesn't cost us a cent. It doesn't cost us anything. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down into this world on your behalf, and by his holy life and his innocent suffering and death and the shedding of his blood, he has paid the full amount for you to go to heaven. And I want everybody here to know that and to understand that today. This is a free present from God that you get to go to heaven. It's not something you have to earn or do. By grace you've been saved. It's a gift from God, Paul says. Paul writes to the Romans, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. There's a beautiful passage in the book of Isaiah where God extends the gospel to us. And I love the way he puts it. He says, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. So there's no cost to us at all to have heaven. Christ has taken care of it for every one of us. And through faith in him, we now possess that. But what our Lord is talking about is the cost that possessing this faith in our life will take on us, the toll that it will take on us. The cost of believing in our Savior and clinging to him, being a follower of Christ, will be a constant struggle and a constant battle in this wicked world. And it may call upon you to make some great sacrifices in your life. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One commentator named William Arndt says this, believers must travel the steep, narrow path of denial of self. And so using the most vigorous terms possible for us to understand, our Lord Jesus in our text describes the need to hate your parents, your children, your wife, your spouse, whatever, whomever, in order to possess him and to love him. He uses the things that would be the closest and most dear to us, things that God himself even commands us to love and want to take care of, but to show and to demonstrate to us the cost that it may involve for us to hold on to loving him above all else. When I was a student here at Bethany, actually I was probably in high school working here in the summer, there was a young man who had come to Bethany to study for the ministry. And he had been converted to Christianity as a young adult, probably about your age. His parents had completely disowned him because they were not Christian and hated the Christian faith. And I remember our family had to take him in at Thanksgiving time for dinner and things because his parents would not even let him come back home to the house. What a cost there was for him in his life of possessing Christ and loving him. We must be willing to forgo all the things that make life comfortable for our old Adam, for our sinful human flesh, in order to keep loving our Lord Jesus Christ. The very things that may get in the way of our soul's welfare. Jesus' words to us today are not intended to scare us away. They're not intended to chase anyone away from him and believing in him. But rather, he wants us to be sober as we look at the reality, the harsh reality of what may lie ahead for us because of this faith that God has given us in our hearts. The cross that our Lord Jesus allows you to have to deal with because you believe in him, the cross that puts on you in your life will be unique to you. It will be different than the cross that is put on the person sitting right next to you today. God fashions a cross for each person that will benefit you ultimately and will also benefit his kingdom. For the prophet Daniel, that cost was realized as he was marched down into the den of lions. For Joseph, that cost was realized when he denied himself the pleasure of being with Potiphar's wife and instead had to be taken off to prison. For the disciples of our Lord Jesus, that cost was realized when they left their boats and their nets and their occupation, and ultimately every one of them but maybe one had to face martyrdom. That cost for Stephen was realized as he knelt down to feel the rocks and the stones pelting against him for proclaiming Christ. The cost might be monetary for you. I've had people in congregations I've served that have had to give up their jobs because of their love for Christ. That cost might be a relationship for you. I've met people who have had to break off a serious love interest because of their concern for the gospel. That cost might be just a lack of popularity and not fitting in. It might be mean being ostracized by your society and even condemned and labeled by your society. Faith in Christ and obedience to his word is a bold, radical protest against this wicked and evil world in which we live. But your Lord Jesus, who has given you the free hope of heaven through his blood, your Lord Jesus gives you two promises when it comes to the cost that may be exacted from you in this life for following him. Number one, whatever he asks of you, he will also provide you with the ability and the strength to carry it out. He will not give you more than you can handle. He will not exact a toll from you that is more than you could pay. And secondly, the final project, the final possession, if you will, the tower that we're building, will all be worth it, and that is everlasting life. How wonderful it will be to hear him say on that great day when he returns, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." There is nobody, there is not a single soul in heaven who looks back on the cost that they paid for hanging with Christ in this life and regrets it. There will be no regret when we are in the mansions above. I want to close by making a special note about this college. There was a group, a handful of people, men and women, a number of years ago, 90 or so years ago, that in a very little church body had to give up a lot of things in order to possess the gospel and to retain it for their children. They had to put up with the hatred of other people, rejection, the loss of family relations, the loss of a larger income, for the sake of Christ and great personal sacrifice so that this place could exist. And they knew what it would take to complete building the tower. And today, we benefit from their dedication. May your children and your grandchildren someday benefit from the cost that you paid for possessing the gospel. Amen.